Well, one of the things we do here at Trinity Free Church is we, week by week, study a portion of God's Word and ask ourselves the question, what does it mean? What does the Bible mean to us today? Because we believe it to be God's Word, its truth, and we think, indeed many of us would say, we know full well in our hearts and in our minds that it is useful to us today. So very briefly, I want us to consider the special visitors of Christmas. I guess many of you are visitors. Some of you I know have come to stay with someone you visited this afternoon just for a portion of time. Some of you will have visitors come and stay with you over Christmas. Some of you will go and be visitors elsewhere. So I think it's a subject we can just get our teeth into. It's something that is relevant to us today. And what makes a special guest? What makes a guest special when they come? Don't put your hand up and answer now, especially if you've got guests with you. At the moment, that might be a little embarrassing. So instead of getting you to answer, I had a look on the internet, and I found on the Life Hacker website this article, How to Be a Perfect Guest in the 21st Century. It begins, your mother's missive to be polite might suffice to help you get by as a tolerable guest. But if you really want to shine, read our blog post, of course. It says this is a best practice compilation of tips and tricks. On the surface, the principal responsibility of a guest might be to enjoy themselves above all else. I like that when I'm visiting, don't you? But the real responsibility of the guest when staying with people not in the business of running a B&B is not to burden your host. And the worst guests, it says, short of those that smash the fine china, are by far the poor communicators. Well, it goes on for a while, saying why you should never just turn up and then disappear without saying where you're going and when you'll be back and so on. And then there was a line that really caught my eye, because this is me. This is what happens when I go away, and this is going to happen after Christmas at my in-laws and then at my mother's. Cleaning up after yourself extends to all areas of your host's home, including clutter like laptops and charging cables. Stow all your stuff away, especially when you aren't using it, unless your host has specifically given you permission to turn their coffee table into your command center. And I know that that is exactly what I'm going to do. When I get down there to Bristol, I'll have my little corner of all my stuff. And when I get up to my mum's, I'll gently move her stuff to the other end of her desk. And I will take over this. And that's just me. And I read that and I thought, wow, that's me. That's how I do being a visitor. So you've been warned if you invite me, of course. Well, look, the Christmas story is full of guests. And it's full of visitors. And it's them that I want us to look at and see what we can learn from. Mary and Joseph didn't have the best of visitor experiences, did they? Can you imagine what their comments form would have looked like afterwards? Actually, there's no hint that they were mistreated, only that there just plain wasn't any room for them. A real genuine case of, we absolutely have nowhere to put you. But there are two other groups of special visitors joining the party and announcing the most special visitor of all, who, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are in Charles Le Brun's Adoration of the Shepherds from the 1600s. The angels and the shepherds. We often think of the Magi as the main visitors, don't we? But here's the first two, the angels and the shepherds. First, the angels arrive. But doesn't your Hollywood brain say they've come to the wrong place? Shouldn't the angels have arrived with Mary and Joseph and the baby and sung his praise directly there? Shouldn't they have been the ones who made it very clear that Mary and Joseph and babe needed to be elevated to the best house and the best room in the best house out of the stable? That's what should have happened, surely. There's your Hollywood ending. I mean, who wants the shepherds? They're definitely not nice guests and visitors. They're the ones who are outcasts in their own society. Even if they're bringing a glorious message, shepherds in those days were, quite frankly, smelly oiks. If you read, forgive me if you're a shepherd, I don't know, and I don't think there's any shepherds here, but this is the writings of the day tell us that shepherds were smelly and light-fingered. That's a polite way of putting it, isn't it? They would quite happily help themselves. They lived out in the wilds without camp toilets and showers and things. And when they came to town, you could smell sheep on them and a few other things as well. And Luke, as he writes to us, compares the shepherds and the angels. Here are the glorious messengers from heaven who have just been in the very presence of God himself and bring his praise and glory to earth. And here are the smelly shepherds who know full well they're not really welcome in town, even when they go in to buy the stuff they need or to take the sheep to sell. Which guest is more welcome? Which should we welcome? Which should we listen to? Good questions. But I want us to think about this. Will you look with me at the shepherds? And will you ask yourself, can you respond like the shepherds responded? Even though you know you're not welcome in town, didn't they go? Didn't they hear the message and do something with it? Even though they weren't welcome, that was overcomable. They had a message to share, a glorious truth to proclaim. The shepherds couldn't wait for morning to go to Bethlehem. They got going in the middle of the night. The word we have translated in the text as "let's go to Bethlehem" really doesn't, it's not good English. It's not a good English translation of the Greek. Picture the scene, would you? There's some terrorist or troublemaker in a building, and outside is the SWAT team. And they've done their camera under the door thing, and they've got the chopper over the top looking, and everybody's reported back, and the commander finally sort of pulls himself together. He's checked everything 5 times, and then he says, "Go, go, go!" Well, that's what the word means. And what the shepherds say is, "Go, go, go to Bethlehem! We have got to go and see if this is true." It's that important. We have got to go and see if this is true. Will you, like them, give this account of baby Jesus that much attention this Christmas? Will you really think hard? Will you go, go, go? And read, 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 and think, think, think. Is this true? What got them so fired up? What were they thinking about? What were they checking out? Listen to just a couple of verses. Chapter 2 of Luke and verse 10 says this. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. You'll find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This is the message. This is the message announced to them. This is the key thing. This is the truth they're checking out. This is the truth that in their eyes says, go, go, go. We've got to find out if this is true. The Greek word hiding behind the phrase, "I announce to you good news, I bring to you good news," is the word evangelical. Is the word we get from it today. It means good news. It means to be the bearer of good news. It's a word that is applied later on to the whole church. They become the bearers of the good news. It is a message of good news that is given. But what good news? Well, the angel declares that the baby is a savior. And again, this word's quite rare too. It's not just an ordinary savior. If you're in a car crash, you want the fire brigade to come and be your savior because they can cut you out. If you've hurt yourself, you want the paramedic, etc. They are saviors and very vital and important people they are. But this is slightly different. This takes it up a level. This word is quite rare. It's very specially and carefully chosen, this savior word. The concept of savior of all, and for all, and from all, the one and only Savior, the generic Savior, if you like, the one who can rescue anyone from anywhere and deal with anything that they have done. That's quite a word, isn't it? Jesus is the one and only possible Savior, we're told here in this text. Now, that's quite a piece of news. I think that would get me going. Wouldn't it get you going? There's another aspect of this message. The baby Jesus is not only called the Savior, but he is called the Christ, the Lord. This is the Messiah word, the anointed one. This is a word that says God has chosen someone to do something special. In the Old Testament, the Israelite people chose priests and kings to do special jobs. And that's what this word builds on and comes from. The priest had a special job. The king had a special job. They were anointed to that special job. And this word is a special word that says God has anointed this baby to do this special job of Savior for all. Such good news. Then we have the Lord word, Yahweh. It means God. It's his personal name. I think I might have got those two on the screen back to front, haven't I? Sorry about that. Apologize. So here we have the good news, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Anointed One. So the angels bring good news to the shepherds of the one and only Savior, the one chosen especially by God for a work to do, the one who is indeed God himself. Now that's quite a claim. Quite a visit, wouldn't you say? Quite a visitor. Wouldn't you want to go and visit, even if you had no hope of staying, even if you got there and by the early morning you're turning around to come back and look after the sheep? Wouldn't you do what the shepherds did and go find out if it's true and go work out what it means for you? That's what the shepherds did. First, they're frightened. They're actually terrified, it says. But then they go and they check it out and they find out the truth. And often we're terrified when we first hear about heaven. The place is real and perfect. And quite frankly, I know I'm not real and perfect. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that there's something in your life that's not quite right. And if heaven's perfect and I'm not, what's going to happen? But this message deals with that. This baby can deal with that. That's the claim. Christ is the Savior, the one appointed by God to be the good news to us. That same message, that same baby is relevant today. What will you do with this truth? Will you go and find out? Or will you perhaps just leave it alone? I would encourage you to go and find out. The shepherds knew they didn't belong in town. They were concerned, but they still went. And praise the Lord, isn't it wonderful? They found the babe that they were looking for. And the text tells us they came back, waking everybody up, shouting, "We've seen him. It's brilliant. It's true. He really is the good news. He's the Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One." It's remarkable. That's their testimony. It can be yours too. Hear the angels say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Will you go, as the shepherds went, and find this truth? The greatest gift you can get this Christmas would be to get this and understand this. The greatest gift you could give this Christmas would be to help somebody get this and understand this and to share it with them. And so I've got a book called The Greatest Gift, and I'd like everyone to have one, although I've probably only got enough for every visitor. And I've got other books in a gift bag over there, a Christmas present from us for you. And I would love for you all to take this book called The Greatest Gift and explore the greatest gift ever given this Christmas. Now, you can do that tonight over a cup of coffee with me or a friend who's brought you. You can do it more at your leisure by taking those books and reading them. But friends, this is the greatest gift you can get and the greatest gift you could give this Christmas. This news of a Savior. This news of the anointed one of God who is Christ the Lord. Will you go and find out if it's true? Our next carol assumes that you've gone, because it says, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. It's with the shepherds on the way back. They've been and they've gone, and they've got that joy in their hearts, and there's this plea, come on, all you who are waiting for a saviour, come out and sing with us, because he's here. Well, come, all you faithful, let's stand and sing our God's praise.